Yup.
Yo,
We live. What's happening? What's happening?
many blessings. Thank you for coming back on. We got Zay Rain in the house.
What's happening, bro?
Just cooling, my man. How's the day been treating you?
It's been an interesting day. It's been an interesting day. I made a new friend today. I found a little
Okay.
kid at my doorstep a few hours ago. And we have just been macking. He is big sleeping right now on my bed right now. Or she. I named her Trappy. But she's big sleep right now. Yo, I see they have the FaceTime feature on here. Do you want to do that?
Really?
Yeah, do you? I mean,
I
we could.
have not seen it, but if you know where it's at.
All right, I'm gonna try it. Let's see if it works. Does the button work on here? Oh, I don't think it works on Anchor. I guess not. Wait. No, never mind.
I was gonna say that's a crazy feature. They upgrade like that. Anger, you need to go ahead and put the FaceTime feature in here for the podcasters, man.
Yeah,
We're just trying to
they need to
collaborate on a
go.
deeper level.
I think I just gave them a $1 million idea on accident.
I think that's the upgrade that takes the company there, man, to that next level.
For sure. But
But
yeah, I just got done recording a little track.
okay.
It's not 100% done yet, but I mean, if you want to get a preview of it, I mean, you
I was
could.
just about to say, could we get a sample?
I guess. All right. Let me know on your end if this is too loud or not, because I'm
I
not gonna.
gotcha.
So, how's that? Can you
Maybe a little bit louder.
hear?
Yeah.
We're listening to the club and no chains on me. Can you
No
hear?
chains on me. A little bit louder. We're listening to the club and no chains on me. All these blue skeletons and no chains on me. Keep it 100, please no change on me. 50-50 wants it for me. 50-50 wants it for me.
Hey. Cause every time I start to connect up, they wanna suicide. If you can't keep it real, nigga, fuck your side, niggas put me through hell, I'm running raw ties. You ain't mine, not my guys. You won't ride, you won't ride, yeah. Oh, nah, listen, niggas always on time. Oh, nah, listen, niggas always on time. Better keep that same energy. If it smoke me, it's smoke you till infinity. Yeah. Them niggas wanna finish me, but if they try me again, they wanna assist me. No chains on my no chains, no chains, no chains on my no chains, no chains, no chains on my no chains, no chains, no chains on my no chains, no chains. They don't feel my pain. I'm a struggle, yeah. And you thought it was a hook, oh
Yo, that's some heat.
yeah.
When are we getting this track is the question.
The ending is my favorite. Hold on one second. Hear the bars at the end. Peep this. Hold on. Black, you ain't got many options. Right bars, sell bars, I ended up behind them. When I went crazy, locked me in the asylum. Lord,
Hey, you know what kind of vibe that's really giving me?
What type of vibe?
I was listening to it, and as I was listening to it, it was really resonating. And it kind of reminds me of an Outkast kind of vibe.
You know what's funny? Whatchamacallit? Shorty that was actually on the track is she's here chilling with me right now. And she was like that. Say what's up, Naomi.
Hey.
I don't know if you heard that, her little ass.
Hey, hey, how's it going, Naomi?
I'm good. How are you?
I don't know if you can hear
you. You gotta tell her to get closer to the mic.
Yeah. But, yeah, she was just saying that she thought it sounded like Andre 3K. And I wasn't even going for that. Like, I think with this whole track, what kind of inspired it was Good Kid, Mad City. It's not the same sound. The beat is actually an A Boogie beat. If you've ever heard the song My Day One, but you feel me, we went in there, we did a little bit to the beat. We added some vocals on top of it. You could probably, I don't know if you heard her humming in the background.
Indeed.
But yeah, I'm trying to, I got a lot of stuff going on in the background. I'm really trying to bring back like that 90s type of vibe, you feel me?
Definitely. That definitely was having me resonating about Outkast. Like, the whole time I was listening to it, I was like, man, this got a real specific sound to it. This is like, this is not something I've heard in a while, but it's a very distinct rhythm. And it's like definitely that Outkast, like funky, kind of like soulful music.
Yeah, I feel that big time. I see you got a few questions here that you had sent me prior to. Did you want to get into that, or did you have something else?
I think we should go ahead and hop into that. And if you'd like to open up, and then we could just go ahead and then. Conversation flow from there.
All right. So I think what was the first question you had asked me? If I had a superpower, what would it be?
Yes.
Initially, I thought I'd go like with teleportation or something like that. But all of my justifications were, let's say, mischievous to say the least. Then I dug in a little deeper because the question was kind of nostalgic for me. And it kind of conjured up some playful emotions and, you know, got me thinking of, like, infinite possibilities. So after a few mental laps, I found myself gravitating toward a more practical superpower. And I think it would be to effortlessly communicate with everyone and everything in the universe. I want to be able to understand all perspectives because ultimately I want to be a part of the creation of heaven on earth, a place where every passionate perspective can blossom and unfold organically. And, you know, beyond, you know, anything to do with my music, that's my mission. You feel me? Like, to make the world a more conducive place for people to evolve. Because right now, I don't think that's what's going on. So I would like to see a paradigm shift on a societal level, you know, where we're focusing more on making it easier for people to communicate with each other and for people to be understood, you know, giving people safe places to be understood. But I think I'll definitely go with a practical superpower, like just being able to communicate with trees and frogs and, you know, all types of animals and just anybody in any language. I think that would be a superpower. And one that, you know, we could reasonably attain in this lifetime. So I think that's why I would go with that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty deep. I think you actually put a good amount of thought and energy into that. And, I mean, that's probably one of the best superpowers you could ever ask for, honestly. Like, what really tops that? I feel like that's how you break through.
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Jumper, But that's what made me with teleportation at first. I was thinking about like jumping, like, you feel me, like through walls and stuff like that. Or like, I'll be all in a bank, you feel me? You
know what
I'm
saying?
But I'm on a whole new wave now, you feel me? Those days of that type of thinking is far behind me, you know what I'm saying? Like, we try to clean money now, you know what I'm saying?
100, 100. That's the way to go. Man, speaking of, man, I just launched the LLC today, fam.
You lost it?
Yeah, I launched it.
Oh, launched.
Okay. Yeah, bro, I started the process, man. Sent in all my paperwork, you know what I'm saying? Got my tax ID number. Damn, yeah, bro.
Yeah, that's dope. I believe Naomi has her business license too.
Shout out.
Yeah. Shout out to all the young black queens and kings out there.
Dude, we making waves out here, man.
Yeah, definitely.
You gonna say?
I actually have a whole lot of business ideas I'm getting ready to roll out, but I'm just trying to figure out how I'm gonna go about doing it, because lately how my mind has been, you know, working is just I got 10 things at once just trying to roll out, and so I'm just trying to prioritize. But to be on the lookout, within the next few months, I definitely think I'm going to get one of these books out there that I've been sitting on for a couple of years. People who have followed me on Twitter and stuff like that, they know, you know, what type of wave I've been on with spreading knowledge and light and stuff like that. So definitely going to be a book packed full of that. Got a clothing line on the way very soon. No date, because it really could be any time within this next month, or it could, you know, be pushed back because I'm a perfectionist. But that's definitely coming very, very soon. And then music. I've been talking a big game about the music, but the music's definitely coming soon. I'm in here every day working on it, you feel me? But I get new inspirations every day, so that's kind of like my biggest thing right now, trying to balance indulging in new inspirations and, like, you know, finishing things that I've already started.
Facts. Yeah. What do you feel keeps your momentum flowing forward to accomplish the task that you set out to do?
My why.
What is that? What is your why?
My nephew, man. That's everything to me. My nephew is like a son to me. I haven't really posted him much on my social media, much to my sister's request earlier. She didn't really, you know, want to put his face too much on the internet at first. But now she started posting pictures of him and whatnot. But I'm very particular with the things that I post on my Instagram, especially. So I just haven't, but I think I do want to share a little bit about my family pretty soon. So anybody who's following me on Instagram can look out for that soon.
And hit him with the name.
Oh, his name is Amari. On Instagram, it's The Plug for Water. It's The Plug for Water, spelled exactly how it sounds, exactly how it's written. You feel me? One word. But yeah, my nephew is definitely my why. I actually got a song that I wrote for him too. But yeah, that's what keeps me motivated, because he really put it into perspective for me that I have to make this world a better place. Because there are certain things that I've lived through that I don't want him to live through at all, you know. And my sister is, you know, his father is around and in his life, but, you know, my sister is doing everything she's doing without a ring on her finger. So no guarantee, you feel me? So I just feel like as the man in my family, I really got to put on for the women that, you know, were there for me and, like, you know, kept me sane for, you know, most of this, you feel me? So that's my why, my family.
That's what's up, bro.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
And anybody who's locked in knows, you feel me, I'd be on it 5 a.m., 7 a.m., 12.
Yeah.
Check in any time of the day, you feel me? Zay Rain don't sleep, baby.
The work ethic is definitely there. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, we had a conversation a couple, probably like a week and a half, 2 weeks back maybe. And it seemed like right after that, I don't know if it's just maybe I was paying more attention, but it seemed like you went to hyperdrive.
Yeah. I think that after we had talked, I started working a lot. I started working a lot harder, and then in the past couple of weeks, I'm just, for some goals that I have for myself, it's really crunch time for me. So I'm just like kind of in my hermit shell right now, and I'm just tunnel vision with it all day. You feel me? 360. I'm just getting it in at all possible times. If I got my eyes open, I just want to be working. I mean, I really don't even know how to sit still at this point. So I probably have a harder time staying asleep than working. You feel me? Like, working is easy. It's like breathing to me. But relaxing was hard for me. You know what I mean? Right now, I'm trying to work and manifest these millions, man. Can't be talking about it forever. You still there, man? I think it's gonna show up. Yo. Hello? Yeah, you can hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, I don't know if you heard the last thing I said, but...
Nah, it kind of cut off.
Yeah, I just basically said that I've just been locked in, kind of in my hermit shell, just focused on manifesting a few things I got on my mind right now. And I'm just really trying to make it happen, you know? Bro, just really trying to make it happen.
I feel that on a spiritual level, bro. Like, literally.
Yeah. I saw that, just to shift gears a little bit, I saw, because I could talk about my family and I could talk about music all day. We did want to get a little bit of conscious conversation. I saw that on the topic board you had Trump here, and you kind of left just the fact that, like, you left it open-ended kind of spoke to me, and I kind of just, I had an epiphany that the conversation is not really about Trump anymore, and it's never really truly been about Trump, but rather the symbolism and what he represents. And I want to pose the question, what does he represent? And I want to make a habit of asking this question as opposed to answering it directly. So ask yourself and to the listeners, what does he represent? And I'm putting emphasis on the he, because, you know, the more we say his name, the more power we give to him. And anybody who's paying attention to the election should, you know, catch that lesson with a little bit of thought. But what does he represent, and what is the understanding of his symbolism, you know, from the perspective of the other side? What is the understanding of his symbolism from the other side? Do you understand who your opposition is? and why do you view them as your opposition? What do you truly understand of your opposition? Where did you develop this understanding? Through intimate experience? Did you conquer your initial emotions? Or did you gravitate back to them after a few unpleasant experiences? So that's something I see, you know. And these are real questions that we haven't been asking and we still aren't asking. This is the conversation that really needs to be had, because the issue is not Trump. The issue has always been what Trump represents. See, Trump is basically an amplification of America's insecurities. When we collectively allow the biases of our fears to structure our priorities, we end up with characters like Trump. So we have to ask, what are we individually afraid of? How have we allowed fear to program us? And how has that programming created divide amongst us? I think that that's the real question. The issue isn't, you know, black or white, but learning how to navigate the space in between. Talk of roles and reparations and assigning casual roles or causal roles to understand biases. Hold on, let's back that up. Because I have this written down because I really didn't want to miss any points. But talks of roles and reparations and assigning causal roles to understand biased facts is all dialogue stemming from wounded egos. Practically speaking, there's more to learn in discussing how we feel than who's right and who's wrong. Too much gets lost in translation when you're consciously opposing the other side. When you've consciously decided that, you know, who you're listening to is wrong and that you're supremely right and that they don't have too much to say in regard to how you feel, then, you know, not much gets understood. So I really want to backtrack and make sure that, like, anybody who's listening to this, like, gets those points, you know. The question isn't, you know, what are we going to do about Trump, but what are we going to do about the issues that are at the base of this conversation? Because what's at the base of this conversation is fear from both sides. So what is the opposition? Who is your opposition, Jalen? Like, when like, and you don't have to answer that on air, but I want you to think about that. Like, who is the opposition? And why, and if you do see an opposition, why do you view them as your opposition?
The only opposition that I truly view in life, because, well, I'll say, is myself.
I knew
the only opposition that you can truly blame for anything in life is yourself. Mm-hmm. We can speak of history. We can speak of the past. We can speak of systems. We can speak of education and these different things. And as they do have validity, there is also a self education and a self searching and a self discovery that goes into a deeper understanding of what I mean by it's my greatest opposition is myself. Because at the end of the day, what I feed myself, what I think, what I allow to penetrate my subconscious and conscious mind literally shapes my reality, shapes what I see, shapes what I believe. So therefore, anything that is happening to me is directly happening to me due to what I allow my mental reality to reflect as. Above as below, you know. We think the mind is everything, when the mind is only part of the human experience, and what actually connects us is the consciousness. So when we understand that it's the consciousness, and we understand how consciousness relates to reality due to subconscious and conscious thinking, we then understand, in my opinion, what I've reflected on and understood for myself, is that when I took control of the way I thought about myself and my environment, then my environment and I changed. Because I'm not thinking for myself from the same place as I was thinking for myself when I was thinking of myself in the negative perspective.
And did you notice how I asked a lot of introspective questions with in regards to the issues with Trump? I think that people need to ask more questions that are internally affected, because what I've seen a lot with is the blame game being amplified like never before. And that's like a lot of what we see on the news and a lot of what we see on social media. Everybody's trying to blame somebody, you know, for what's going wrong, but nobody wants to take responsibility for, you know, the role that they play in their own lives. You know what I mean? And we're also co-creating an experience. You know, we're co-creating an experience. So people have to understand that even as you're acted upon, you still have a reaction to whatever happens to you. And your reaction plays a role in history. So, you know, we can feel entitled to our anger. And we can feel entitled to whatever lower vibrational emotions that, you know, that we feel. But at the end of the day, you know, if we keep spewing out anger and we keep trying to point fingers and we keep trying to make people feel bad for things that they weren't even alive for, then where are we truly going to get to? And then when are we ever going to understand that racism is less of an opinion and more of a mental illness? I think that's something that, like, I've never really heard anybody, like, really address. You know what I'm saying? Because racism is basically just a lack of empathy. That's pretty much all it is. Like, if somebody is racist, somebody for another skin color, it's a lack of empathy, and that's something that they've probably been taught. You know, people are taught to be racist, you know, and they're taught by a lot of subconscious influences, not necessarily things that they have direct control over. So I think we need to have a lot more compassion when we discuss things like race. And we also do need to evolve the conversation from race, because I just think it's a ridiculous topic at this point.
Hello.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Keep going in and out. All right. My bad.
It cut in and out. Tell me where you left off.
So I left off where you were talking about how we create a conscious reality together.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we're basically co-creating reality. So people have to understand that, yes, you can feel entitled to you know, emotions like anger and sadness and rage and, you know, vengeance. But at the end of the day, everything that you do has residue, and everything that you do adds to the problems at hand. So if you're not exercising compassion to people you view as your opposition, they will always be your opposition.
Facts.
And you can't necessarily win people over with love, but I think that more than anything, people hate to feel stupid. So I think that when you give somebody simple education, or explain to somebody that, all right, have you ever considered that maybe that your fears of, you know, people with darker skin than you or people with lighter skin than you are irrational, and have actually been taught to you. They've been taught to you by the news. They've been taught to you by your parents. They've been taught to you by your elders. They've been taught to you by your neighbors. And it's all impressed on your mind at a young age. And I think that people need to engage racism more as a mental illness, as, you know, a person who is lacking empathy. And a person who is lacking empathy is truly suffering a mental illness, because in terms of humanity and speaking in practical terms, we have to have empathy for one another to be able to engage. if I can't understand, if I can't understand what another person needs or wants for themselves, then how can I go about trying to make bonds with my brothers and sisters? How can I go about trying to interact in this world if I don't have any empathy?
You can't.
Exactly. So I think that
side with yourself, especially in this world.
Exactly. So I think that the conversation really needs to gravitate towards people turning in internally to think about, how am I affecting this conversation? How am I, what role am I playing in the unfolding of this dialogue? Am I adding fear? Am I adding my own fears and biases? Am I allowing my fears and my biases to construct my belief system? Because I think too many people allowing their fears and their biases to construct their belief systems. And that's kind of why we're at where we're at. That's why we want to put up walls. And that's why we want to play the blame game, because we're afraid. And I think that when we finally admit that we're scared out of our minds, then we can have a real conversation about what needs to go forward, what needs to happen going forward.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, bro. I think, but that directly stems from self-awareness, and it's in today's time to be self-aware has a different perception that you might have in ancient times. These days, people think self-aware means that you are. I mean, if they think it's that you lack something and not that you're gaining something by being self-aware. People think that because they're people that think that they think they're so good where they're at now and they're so comfortable where they're at now that they couldn't fathom outside of this comfort and everything that they call life that they've been told.
I think that
something else.
I think that people also have a very limited perspective of what self-awareness is. I think people just identify with labels. They identify with labels, and that's where their self-awareness stops. They say, okay, oh, I have depression, permanent. Oh, I have anxiety, permanent. Oh, the doctor said I have cancer, I'm gonna die now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people just hear these labels, and I think that too many of us are also allowing labels to define who we are, you know, like in terms of, like, let's even still sticking with the political conversation, if somebody identifies with a Republican or they identify as Democrat, they're pretty much always going to vote Democrat, or they're pretty much always going to vote Republican regardless of what the other person is saying. So if that is at the base of our political conversation, of at the base of any political dialogue, that rationale is there, then how can we have any productive conversation in terms of what needs to be done, you know, in a societal level? And I think that it's just getting more and more obvious to me that there just needs to be a complete restructuring of everything that we're doing now. And I don't know the way to go about it, but I think that we'll get there when we open up the conversation and start talking about what's real.
I couldn't agree more. This is interesting that you bring this up, because with some of the information I've been looking into and some of the things I've been researching and looking at, it's talking about exactly what you're talking about. Like, for instance, when you said something about, like, the fabric of time, like with everything that we do in our lives is recorded on the fabric of the universe, yeah? Mm. So we are literally recording the movie of our lives as we move through the conscious reality in which we call Earth. That conscious reality is just made upon the fabric of the universe. And by being in this time and space at this specific time, talking to you on the podcast, you know, the information that we're putting out is now recorded in the fabric of history and in the fabric of the internet. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's a deeper level understanding of what we're really doing consciously and subconsciously. Because when we look at that and we see all of our actions, no matter what we do, good or bad, are recorded, you know, we, and let's say one day our great, 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 great 10 million years removed grandkids are able to watch us our entire life play by play. Because if you're a millennial, then the cameras were around our entire lives. Our entire life is recorded, whether it's on stoplight cameras, Walmart cameras, cell phones, security cameras, whatever. They could probably piece by piece put every second of our life together and see how we were living. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that in the fabric of history, I record the right things so that when the people look back, there's actually something of substance there, of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Because the way that we're going is so unconscious in ways. Mm-hmm. And I think if we took reality in that perspective, a lot of people would change their actions because they're not just thinking about the immediate present. They also have some forethought about the future, which makes them be kinder to their future selves so that they can actually have some type of substance and impact in those times where people do look back and say, I wonder what these people did in history.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think that anybody's gonna have to question what we did in history, you or me. I think that it'll just be known.
Big facts. I could definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling that big time.
There were
Hold on. Go ahead.
I want to get your perspective since we're on this topic already, kind of. What is your perspective on America's future? You know what I'm saying? Like, genuinely, do you believe... I've come up with this saying today. I don't know if anybody's ever said it, but it's possible they could have. But if not, I'm going to go ahead and claim it. Non-prejudice collaboration. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the key to... the peace in the world, because we have these prejudices and biases that are taught in our educational system and is a...
So basically what you're talking about is a society of non-judgment.
Yeah, I'm not going to say non-judgment, because I think judgment is almost in a way natural. Because we have vision, we have to look at things and try to assess it.
But judgment is... When I say judgment, it's when you allow your biases to affect your decisions.
Gotcha.
Based on, you know, how other people express themselves.
I got you. Yeah. Yes. You're 100%.
So, honestly, I don't want to say too much because... And I mean, I know how it's going to sound, but today I just had a very weird experience with my phone where I literally heard like a recording sound in my phone. Like, literally, if you ever like seen a tape recorder, you hit record on a tape recorder and it started.
Yeah.
And, like, I literally heard that sound in my phone.
And that's pretty crazy.
I've been getting like white noise and stuff like from my phone or whatever. So I'm just kind of trying to be conscious of what I say on my phone right now, because I just feel like I have some pretty big ideas, and radical in a very positive way, nothing violent, anything like that, but just ideas that would change everything. And I got to be careful about, you know, how much I say and where I say it. And you're definitely, you know, somebody who in the future, you know, we'll have conversations, you know. Obviously, won't get too much into that here, but I think that things need to, not need to, but if we want a more peaceful America, that's just a radical change, and people need to just accept that it's a radical shift, and it's not a simple shift of a few degrees or adding a few laws. It's a shaking up of the foundation.
And we're changing the fabric of history.
Yeah. But I think it would just need to be something totally different than what we're doing now.
I think so too. I think there's interesting things that have been learned and acquired. I think the United States government was a good experiment in the sense that it was like, if you take the United States government and the interaction with its people as a science experiment, and you break it down and you look at the philosophy and psychology behind the tactics used to understand and manipulate the people, you could actually probably come out with an awesome dissertation of what not to do and take away a lot of things that were positive as far as inside of the structural system that can be added in certain ways.
I think that you just broke through to something. I think that that would be the perfect approach. Like, to asking people, what are they so afraid of? What are they so afraid of? Like, let's just accept that, all right, maybe this isn't working, and possibly we're smart enough to do something better than this. So what is going wrong? Let's look at all. Let's put all the laws on the table. Let's put all the laws on the table. Laws that haven't been passed yet that are being talked about being passed. Let's put those on the table too. But let's see what's really going on, because if you look at enough information, what you're always going to find is a pattern. You're always going to find a pattern. You know what I mean? So I think that we can find the pattern, and we can get to the root of the problems, because it's not just one, and all of these problems aren't necessarily connected in the way that they would be addressed. You know what I mean? But
I like the way you worded that.
Yeah, it definitely, I think that might be the approach. Just asking, all right, what's going wrong here? This was good, or not good. This was okay, but it's clearly not working now. So what can we do? And why are we so scared to be better?
I don't think we're scared to be better. I think we're just scared in general.
I think people are scared of change, period. But if you're scared of change, then you're scared of being better, period. Like, because think about it. Change is inevitable. A new 24 hours is going to come every single day. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to stop. The world's not going to stop turning. Seasons aren't going to stop coming. You know, the stock market's going to have its fluctuations. You know, businesses are going to have good days and bad days, like, and that's going to be the way of the world forever. So,
but people aren't thinking about it like that.
So
they're thinking of life in the present tense, in fear, and then they let that fear carry them into the future tense, which means they're basing their life upon fear. And when you base your life upon fear, you can never break through to your true light. Therefore, you can never live your truth.
Yeah, man. We gotta learn how to how to detach from the things that we grip onto so tightly, you know, our comfort zone, because our comfort zone is killing us.
In history, comfort is death. You can see it in nature. If you see a gazelle that gets comfortable in the African wilderness, it's about to get eaten. You can trust that.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
And it's like, we can understand this in nature, but when we introspectively look at that aspect of nature, we exclude ourselves from it.
Mm. Yeah. I think that there just needs to be a total revamping of the education system, of the government, of, you know, even our financial system and our financial laws. Like, just everything needs to be completely restructured, and one person cannot do it by themselves. So I think that conversations like this are a great place to start, and we just have to continue, you know, doing that and moving that forward. And we also have to, something I want to say to you, and I want to hold this to you as a challenge, like, it's good to be creative, but make sure you're also studying what works, because something I would like to see from you is cartoons and, like, you know, visuals of that type of thing, of that nature, on Instagram when you're creating your content, because if you want people to pay attention, you got to meet them where their attention span is at. So we're going to get their attention span. How do we get people hooked, and how do we get people, you know, on this wave?
And well,
That's why I started with the music. So I just want to kind of, if I leave it at one thing with you, that's one thing I definitely want you to pay more attention to. Like, what you're doing is an amazing start, but I want you to go harder, man. I want you to go harder, and I want you to really get people hooked, and I really want to see the numbers start adding up. And I'm not telling you to just focus on the numbers and to create for the numbers, but, you know, create with the intention to reach the numbers. Do you know what I mean? Everything you do at this point, like, I want it professional standard. Like, look at what, not just what other people are doing, but think about what they're not doing.
Bro, we're on the same frequency in this conversation. I got some things that I'm putting in motion that I would have to chop it up with you about off the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to everyone that is interested. When everything gets in motion, you will all understand. But as far as right now, I just can't say anything to compensate what you're saying at the moment, because I got some stuff under wraps. I got some legal paperwork that I'm working on. You know what I'm saying? I got stuff like that we got working on at the moment. So I don't want to say anything until I get all my paperwork together. I talk to my lawyer and everything like that. And then
In your future, man, like an actual talk show. So I feel like that's one thing you should start doing, like start getting in front of a camera, like with talking to people, because that's something that's actually – there isn't a talk show on Instagram really right now.
I will actually give you guys a small insight to what's happening. I will be partnering with a few friends. I have a friend who owns a photography company up and coming, and I will be partnering with him. And we will be doing some more video content and higher quality, better edits, upgrading to Adobe Premiere. So I can go ahead and really edit and put the right things in motion and get the quality that I'm looking for. And I got some real cool stuff working out here in Hawaii, and I'm about to start getting a studio situation together for podcasts and video and interviews and things of that nature. So we do definitely got a lot of that coming on the way. And that's all I can really say at this moment.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I'm excited, definitely.
Just launched the LLC today. We'll say there's some clothes involved. We got some clothing going on. But we really want to push in a thoughtful idea for generations that are under us and the generation that's a little bit ahead of us. So.
Definitely, man. I'm definitely feeling that. All right, man. Well, I think that this has been a very fruitful conversation. Definitely. But I'm feeling I got the bug tonight and I really want to get back to work. So, yeah, I think it's time to get back in the lab. And I got my little buddy over here playing with me now. What you trying to do, Rappy?
That's right, but I said hello. I said, keep doing our thing.
Definitely.
We're going to have to get on the podcast one day, you know.
All right, definitely. She does a lot of work herself in the same area. So you can definitely link up.
Plug the information so we know where to find this young lady.
Okay. What's the Instagram?
She got to get closer to the mic.
It's BINISBLANCHE. Wait. Oh, BINISI. Wait.
Have her come to the mic. Have her come to the mic.
Come to the mic.
Yeah, tell her to get on the mic. Don't be shy.
Hi. Okay, so it's BINISARI Blanc, BLANCHE.
And tell people a little bit about yourself so they know what they're getting into.
Okay, so basically I have a women's empowerment brand and I'm actually starting a talk show called The Beauty Shop where we do like different DIYs and actually talk about just different things in society. And we host little events just showcasing different female entrepreneurs, musicians, and all that good stuff.
Definitely got to get you on there. I'm going to be in contact. I'm going to send you some messages.
All right.
I'm all about everything you're doing. Anything that I can do to help, please, we're going to get in contact. We're gonna talk. But much love. Y'all go ahead and conquer the night.
Thank you.
Many blessings. Love and light.
It was nice meeting you, and I look forward to our further encounters.
When I come out to South Florida in November, I'm going to shoot a short documentary. Just a heads up.
All right, definitely. I'll definitely be here for that, man. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, one love.
All right, man, one love. Stay safe.
You too.